Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.
There's an old saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. At Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services, we treasure Chicagoland, which is why we've put our heart and soul into keeping it clean for over 80 years. An American-built company, we specialize in removing and recycling refuse so that you can proudly call the Windy City home. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services. Our trucks of green keep Chicagoland clean. For service, visit floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Beer 43 Dogfeed.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. For 26 years, Pete Rose has maintained that he never bet on baseball as a player. Now ESPN's Outside the Lines has obtained a notebook seized from Rose's home that shows that's not the case. The notebook details extensive betting by Rose when he played for the Reds in 1986. Commissioner Rob Manfred says Pete Rose will still take part in this year's All-Star Game in Cincinnati, but Rose has been pushing to be reinstated by Major League Baseball so he can be eligible for the Hall of Fame, less likely after today. John Danks has lost his last three starts. He's hoping to stop that skid and get the White Sox their third win in a row tonight at Target Field. Danks will face the Twins' Tommy Malone. Malone just got his first win since April 16th last week against the Cardinals. Manager Robin Ventura said yesterday he's proud of the way his team has turned things around.
The effort level's there. I mean, that's something that hasn't changed, and these guys are, you know, I'm proud of them today of what they did because there were some tough spots, and the pitching did great. Putt stuck it out. He might have twisted his ankle, but, you know, he gets the big ground ball against tough guys. I mean, you know, he's got right in the middle of their order. He gets the ground ball that we turn a big one, and Jake the same way.
Chris Raunchy has White Sox pregame tonight at 6:35. Cubs, meanwhile, return to life without Kyle Schwarber, who has reported to AAA Iowa now that interleague play is over until the Crosstown Cup in July. Tsuyoshi Wada will be on the mound. He's coming off a strong outing against Cleveland, but the Cubs will have their work cut out for them tonight as they face Clayton Kershaw at 7:10. To the NFL, the hearing for Tom Brady's appeal of his four-game Deflategate suspension will take place tomorrow. Ted Wells, the attorney who investigated the allegations and reported back to the NFL, says he'll be in attendance. Meanwhile, Kings forward Jarrett Stoll is facing felony drug charges following his April arrest for cocaine possession in a Las Vegas hotel. To college basketball, McDonald's All-American basketball game will stay in Chicago through 2016. And five-star shooting guard Josh Langford has committed to Michigan State. And finally, the NBA and New York Liberty have agreed to suspend consideration of Isaiah Thomas's ownership application for the WNBA team indefinitely. Thomas was the subject of a sexual harassment lawsuit while working in the front office for the Knicks. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Rose and Hyundai, where you'll save a fistful of dollars this weekend. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago Park District present Night Out in the Parks, offering more than 1,000 cultural events and activities. For more information, visit nightoutintheparks.com. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on the Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Twins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Boers and Bernstein at it again.
Boers and Bernstein, afternoons on the Score.
I think we've had some currents moving in different directions here that have led us to a place where right now, I don't think most Cub fans, or maybe the average Cub fan, is aware enough of what's happening with this year's team right now. People should be paying more attention. And maybe it was the people so caught up in the Blackhawks and not realizing, also assuming, just so beaten down, so conditioned to the Cubs being bad and so conditioned to the first phase of the plan of the rebuild and not the competitive phase, that they're not realizing that if the season ended today, they're in this. Mm-hmm. This is going somewhere.
Boars and Bernstein, over 15 years on 670 The Score.
Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times.
What kind of money is Jimmy Butler getting? I mean, Jimmy, the one thing about Jimmy, his mindset is almost, you know what, this team's really not that loyal to me, so I'm not going to bust my butt and look for hometown discounts and really be loyal to them. I mean, the days of him praising them for picking him last in the first round and giving this kid a chance and blah, 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 those days are over. They ended this year when he saw what he felt was a double standard of treatment of guys on the court and guys off the court as well. So you would hope the Hoiberg offense and that breath of fresh air will change things. But again, that remains to be seen because these feelings are going to carry over. They're just going to disappear.
Idiot and Bernstein
over there on the score.
Dan Bernstein.
Uniquely off the chain.
Barry Rosner.
Barry Rosner, the fine baseball beat writer for the Daily Herald.
I've got to wake up.
Boars and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You got that at 3 o'clock. That's Rosner sitting next to me. And you got some Cubs questions for me, but I don't want to keep Mark in Geneva holding for too long because I also promised that we'd grab phone calls. Mark, you are on the score. Hello.
Hey, I appreciate it. I tell you, that was quite an update, the 3 o'clock hour with the Pete Rose news and Isaiah Thomas and everything like that. But I'll get back to my original point. That was about the Tabata stuff. I can't blame Tabata for anything. I mean, I've seen games where you get 6 runs before the first out of a ball game and also 6 runs, you know, with 2 outs in the ninth. So for him to want to get on Breeze, I blame him. And I know that's the way you guys feel as well. But I guess it was Pat and Coomer who were saying, you know, they started talking about the old school rules and that kind of stuff.
That was Coomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of silly. I mean, but maybe that's a baseball player's mentality. But first of all, and again, it's really refreshing to hear the sister station be able to play those kind of highlights on the radio. It's awesome. Really enjoy those guys and their thoughts. But he can't be blamed. And as far as pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game, I mean, Scherzer himself says that he doesn't put any blame on the batter. So if there's a rule, the umpire probably should make that call. But leave it up to the umpire, not, you know, don't blame the player. So
I'm not. I'm definitely not. And yeah. I know that Len Casper felt strongly about that, too, that Todd was trying to win the game. And until the game is over, keep trying to win the game. And if you were able to do that and it's not called and you stole first, congratulations, you've stolen first.
I get the fan reaction, because as a fan, my reaction was exactly the same. Very disappointed.
And yeah, you want to see Scherzer get it.
You want to see that happen, and you feel bad for the guy, and you think, terrible way to see a guy intentionally get hit, lose a perfect game. But I don't blame the hitter there. I blame the umpire. That's where all of the blame lies right there.
Yeah, that was
just
actually
make the call.
Twitter did a good job keeping people alerted, say, hey, look, this is going on. And the next thing you know, you're right on MLB Network and it says perfect game alert. And, you know, wake the kids and call the neighbors. And there you are right in front of it.
Yeah.
The onrush of excitement is like, oh, because Scherzer's generally likable. You know, this isn't just it's some guy that has got a lot of sort of downside to him or he built up any negatives.
It is funny, though, to think. I mean, one of my first thoughts after that was, what if it had been A-Rod? Because I saw the reaction, and the reaction, you know, you have the people on the one side screaming, how can he do that? Those are the old school people. And you have a more reasonable group screaming, hey, that's his job. No, very few were talking about the umpire, but my first thought was, what if it's A-Rod? I just started laughing. Because then the reaction is much different. Don't you think?
Of course. Then you get the issue of narrative.
Because he's done. I mean, he has. Look, all the things that he's been criticized for.
Yeah, remember running by the shortstop, clapping his hands, yelling, hey. And
he's done a lot of things that break the unwritten rules. And he has been crushed for those things. He's done a lot of them. All in the name of trying to win a game. But because it's A-Rod, he's been crushed for those things. And this is just another one of those things. This is exactly that kind of thing.
All right, you had questions for me. I will try to answer.
I want to know where all the people are who were so up in arms about Chris Bryant. The 7 years being more than 6.
Right.
You know, it's a math problem, and I realize it's complicated. That 7 years is one more than 6.
Well, hold on. Up in arms because he wasn't with the team?
Correct.
Saying you got to call him up because you're trying to win,
Yes.
Okay.
Where are they? Are we going to hear from them again? If the Cubs finish one game out of the wild card, will we then hear from them again? Because they're very, very quiet right now. Similarly, I've not heard recently from anyone who,
I don't understand the plan. What's the plan? It's not going to work.
They're still out there. They're just very, very quiet.
Where are they? The plan was we're going to rebuild this thing from the bottom up to the point where we have enough prospects where we can trade the ones that we're going to hype for the things that we need in order to get to a World Series. Now, they didn't think it was going to be this year. But full credit to Theo, who's always prepared. He doesn't know. He still doesn't know if this is going to be that year. He still doesn't know if they're really good enough in a short series to get to October, to get deep into October. He still doesn't know. But he's prepared. He's got ideas. He's thinking about it. And these are the scenarios you play through before a season. Not now. They've been thinking about this since the winter.
Okay. Well,
but where are all those people?
I'm going to give you an example. Yeah, this is true to form, and it shouldn't surprise you. But this was written for Saturday's Sun-Times by Gordon Whitmire, who's been sort of always has sort of a thumb to poke in the eye of the Cubs. It's kind of the role that he's taken on here, and he wrote. A sloppy defensive tone set in the bottom of the first, triggered by a head-hanging, back-turning lapse by shortstop Starlin Castro, served just one more reminder of how far this young Cubs team is from being a factor in September, much less October. You well, asked and answered. Now, and that's fair, and my point would be...
They are very young, and there is a long way to go here still. There's no question about that. But that is as simple as putting a major league shortstop at shortstop. And he happens to be about 40 feet away right now.
That is the point, is that what we were discussing in transition about the likelihood that Starlin Castro isn't going to have an opportunity to keep the team from being a factor in September, much less October, with that kind of behavior, because this season is already important enough for them to move him out of there. Already.
Perspective, I think, is really crucial here, because the reason Theo was trying to downplay expectations before the season is that it is a young team, and to expect so many young hitters –